Bible says offenses will come. In Luke 17:1, Jesus said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." So this offenses, the Greek word used here, also has the meaning stumbling block, a trap. Yes, these offenses are a trap from the enemy. It's a stumbling block. So John Bevere calls it the bait of Satan. So we should forgive. And we should be very fast in forgiving others. The speed with which we forgive shows our spiritual level. So that doesn't mean we start judging others for their spirituality or their speed of forgiving others. It's to see how we are. It is to judge ourselves whether we are in the right path. One day, Jordan had a big fight with Joanna. Jordan and Joanna are my children, for those who don't know. And Jordan was very angry because Joanna did something wrong. And I asked Jordan to forgive her. This was Jordan's reply. How can I forgive her? She has done wrong. How can I free her? Thought was like this. If he forgives her, then Joanna will become free of punishment. So I asked him to show mercy. Yes, Joanna deserves punishment for what she did, but it's not up to you. You have to release her. You have to show mercy. So what is mercy? One day I was having a theological discussion with Choma's father. I told him, "Do you know what is the difference between mercy and grace?" So this was his reply. He said, "Grace is our cook name and mercy is the name of mom's friend." So I explained what is mercy and grace. It's very important we know what is mercy. Mercy is not getting the punishment which we deserve. And grace is getting the things, the blessings, which we don't deserve. So God's desire in Hosea 6:6, God says his desire is that we give mercy. Forgiveness, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness means to release, to set free the other person. Theologian Lewis Smith writes, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." So when we release the person, when you set the offender free, it's you who is becoming free. It's like drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. But it's actually we who die. How? Unforgiveness takes us away from God. It gives inroads to the enemy. And it's a major cause for sickness. Not all sickness are due to unforgiveness, but unforgiveness is a reason for sickness. So the title of today's message is, "For your sake, forgive." Spurgeon says, "For Christ's sake, forgive." Yes, for Christ's sake, we should forgive. But it's for your sake, you should forgive. So today's scripture is from Matthew 18:21-35. Here Jesus is sharing the parable of the unmerciful servant. Jesus gives a profound teaching about forgiveness through this parable. From this parable, we get an insight, why should we forgive and how should be our forgiveness. So let's get into the word.
Yeah, Matthew 18:21-25. "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt.
At this, his servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt."
When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
Thank you, Abhishek, Vinci, and Arun. So what did we learn from this? To summarize the parable, this is what happened. Peter came to Jesus and so confidently and asked, "How many times should I forgive?" Seven. So seven sounded to him like too much, too good. And Jesus replied, "It's 70 times seven. That is like, it's not possible. It's like unlimited times." And he shares a parable. The principle of kingdom of heaven is like this parable, where there was a servant who owed too much, like 10,000 bags of gold. It's too much. And he asked for mercy and the king took pity and canceled all the debts. But when this servant came across his servant who owed him little, okay, he didn't forgive him. He put him in jail. And when the king came to know that, he was angry. He handed him over to the jailers to be tortured. So my first point is, great is God's forgiveness. We will read Matthew 5, 24 to 27 again. "As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him." So we can see that the servant owed the king 10,000 bags of gold. So in the Greek, it's 10,000 talents. So 10,000 talents could be gold or silver. If it's gold, its value as on today, it's like 60,000 crores of rupees. So if it's silver, it's 750 crores of rupees. It's a huge value. And this person couldn't pay. And he asked for patience. He asked, "Be patient with me and I will pay back everything." So what was king's response? He took pity and canceled the debt. That means he completely canceled unconditionally. That is the forgiveness of God. This is our Father forgave all the mistakes we did, all the sins we did. He completely forgave our sins. Colossians 2:13 to 14 says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins." He forgave all our sins. All means all. "Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us." He has taken it away. How did he take it away? Nailing it to the cross. So God has made an amazing big payment for forgiving all our sins. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So the price which was paid is so big. That shows the extent of the purchase which God made. It's a big purchase. It was a huge debt. So some of us might think, "I have not done such big sins. I have not murdered. I am not raped. So that is not that huge." So I would like to share something which happens in jails. In a jail, when a rapist is brought into the jail, this is what the murderers would say. "Oh, such a terrible sinner. I won't talk to you." This person is isolated and they don't want to keep a relation with that rapist because they see that I am just a murderer. I didn't rape anyone. So another scenario is there are some thieves in the jail, and when they see the murderers, this is their response. "I won't interact with these murderers. I didn't kill anyone." So when we compare our sins with another person, we will feel good. Okay, we could feel good. But if we compare our sins with God, the Holy God, then our sins are great and our offense is great. And Bible says in James 2:10 that one sin or two sin that is equivalent to doing all sins. So we have been forgiven with a great forgiveness. Great was our sin and we have received a great forgiveness. So this gives us a reason why we should forgive. Why should we forgive? We have received a great forgiveness. The king asks the servant, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? He's asking, since you have received mercy from me, shouldn't you give mercy to your fellow servant? Another reason is we know it's the will of God that we should forgive. So when we don't forgive, we are not with God. We are against God. That is, there is consequences to unforgiveness. Ephesians 4:26-27 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. So we give devil a foothold if we sin. How? The devil can start operating in your life. We will be disconnected from a relationship with God. And the devil can use us and attack us with sickness, with troubles. Without peace, we will be troubled with mental sickness, restlessness, and physical sickness. So the first point is, great is God's forgiveness. And my second point is, forgive others as God forgave us. In Matthew 5:33, if king is asking the servant, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? The way he's expecting the servant to forgive his servant is just as the king forgave his servant. So Ephesians 4:32 also says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, how? Just as in Christ God forgave us. How was God's forgiveness? So we are to forgive like God forgave us, right? So how was God's forgiveness? Ephesians 2:8 says, we are saved by grace through faith, and that too a gift. So it's a free, we didn't have to do anything to receive this forgiveness from God. It's a free gift from God. And second thing is, it's complete. Colossians 2:13, it says, God forgave all our sins, past, present, and future. He didn't leave anything. He forgave all our sins. So that's how we should forgive others. Let's go through again, like, how should be our forgiveness? As I shared, it should be free, without any condition. I have heard Joanna and Jordan saying same illustration, where Jordan says, let her come and ask me forgiveness. Let her say sorry. She didn't say sorry. So why should I forgive? It should be unconditional. The way God forgave us, we should forgive. So it should be free. Like the king forgave his servant. He didn't ask him to do anything. He canceled all the debts unconditionally. Then forgiveness should be complete. What do you see in Matthew 18:27? The king forgave all the debt. He didn't you pay one talent of gold, the rest I'll cancel. No, he forgave all, complete forgiveness. And it should be without limits. We should not say, okay, I'll forgive him 7 times, not the 8th time. So in Matthew 18:21-22, where Peter comes to Jesus and asks, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? And Jesus says, 7 times 70. So that is like 490 times. In Luke 17:4, Jesus is telling that in a day, forgive 7 times. Now Peter is asking, Matthew is not in on a chronological order. So I believe it's like this happened after that. So Peter is asking, okay, 7 times I forgive, it's okay. No, he's saying 7 times 70. So what is the point here? 7 is the number of completion, like full. So it's like we have to forgive unlimited times. There is no limit to forgiveness. And in Matthew 18:35, at the end, God says, How should we forgive? From our heart, from our within, complete forgiveness. It should not be a namesake forgiveness, and we say, I forgive. And next time you see that person, you that anger and unforgiveness rise in you, then you are not forgiven from our heart. So how is it possible that we can forgive from our heart? We need help. We cannot do it ourselves. So ask God's help. Holy Spirit is our helper. Seek his help. Pour out your heart, the word says. How do you pour out your heart? Tell God the truth. I'm not able to forgive the person. Help me to forgive. Okay. And second thing is, remember. What should we remember? The two things to remember. That we have sinned. In John 8:7, Jesus, when Pharisees brings that prostitute to him for judgment, what does Jesus say? That the person who has not sinned throw the first stone, and there was none. We all have sinned. So remember, we have sinned. So we don't have the right to keep unforgiveness. And second thing to remember is we have received a great forgiveness. Colossians 2:13, again, it says, all our sins are forgiven. So we don't have any right to keep unforgiveness. And the fourth point is, know the real enemy. In Matthew 16, when Jesus says, I will be crucified, okay, I'll die. So this is what Peter says. No, this will not happen to you. And what was Jesus' reaction? Get behind me, Satan. So was Peter Satan? No. Jesus knew who was prompting him to do this. So most of the times, the people who offend you, they are working under the influence of evil spirits, under the influence of Satan. So know the real enemy. So that doesn't mean you can offend others and it's okay. No, then you are giving a foothold to the enemy. So know the real enemy. And my fifth point is, pray for the person. Luke 6:28 says, pray for the person who mistreat you. How do you pray? You pray like you would pray for yourself. So I would like to conclude this message by saying that do yourself one favor. For your sake, forgive. So before we end the meeting, let's exercise this. Let's spend some time with Holy Spirit and ask him to help you. Let's spend some quiet time with him and let Holy Spirit reveal to you the name of the person. Ask Holy Spirit, is there any unforgiveness in my mind? Is there anyone whom I have not released forgiveness? So today is the day. Just release the forgiveness. I'll just show this slide. You can go through the slides. Just spend a few minutes and quieten yourself and hear from Holy Spirit. And let Holy Spirit reveal to you the names. And let's go through this process and do it for the last few minutes. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Reveal to us the names of the people whom we have not forgiven, whom we have not released. Reveal to us, Lord. We believe you will do it today. Help us to forgive, Lord. So let's spend 2-3 minutes in silence.